Oh, man. Did you see that helicopter crash in New York?
Terrible. Yes, terrible.
Helicopter, one of those touring things, tour New York City, had a family of five on it, plus the pilot, and it crashed into the Hudson. Yeah. All six people on board died, and if you see the video, it's just a horrible sight.
Yeah, it's horrific to watch.
It just upside down, without the tail, goes right down into the water. Happened around 3:18 yesterday afternoon. What happened?
Seriously.
There was a point where the pilot said, I'm coming back for fuel. Now, if you're taking people around New York, you probably fuel up. So to me, that's him saying, something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm coming back.
Right.
Probably didn't want to freak out the family.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Ken Gray. He's former FBI, but also former naval officer in the surface warfare community. Ken, thanks for your service on both.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you think?
Good morning, Jazz. Good morning, AJ.
Good morning.
This was a horrific accident here. The FAA and the NTSB are going to be conducting an investigation to try to determine what happened to the helicopter. But as you described, clearly the helicopter broke apart. The tail assembly separated from the main body, and once it had separated, the main body of the helicopter dropped like a rock into the Hudson River and turned upside down. But the top blades, the top rotor, separated from the body. And so long after the helicopter hit the water, you could still see the top assembly spinning as it dropped into the river also.
Wow.
So this was a catastrophic failure of the body of the helicopter. Whether it was because of the blades detaching or whether the rear assembly just broke off from the main body, it's unclear, but that's what the FAA and the NTSB are going to conduct an investigation to determine exactly what happened.
If you had to guess, what would your guess be? The tail came off first, or the motor came off?
Yeah. Yesterday, when I was looking at the video of it, my first guess was that something happened to the rotor itself. But considering the fact that it was still very aerodynamic, that is, it was spinning well as it was dropping down, I kind of doubt that first guess. And now I believe that it must have been a structural failure where the tail assembly broke free and just dropped off.
Yeah. What does it tell you anything that he... You know, these guys, when they go on a tour, they don't stop mid-tour for fuel.
Yeah.
So when he radioed, I'm coming back for fuel, he knew something was wrong, right? Like he was losing fuel at that point. Isn't the fuel contained in that tail end of the helicopter?
Yes. And yeah. I think your guess is probably right that the fact that you don't take off with an aircraft with passengers on board if you need to go fuel up. You go and fuel up, and then you take passengers. And for him to break in mid-tour like that, he must have identified a problem. But that being said, he was working with LaGuardia ATC. He should have reached out to LaGuardia ATC and declared an emergency if he actually had a real problem.
Right.
What happened then, though? Can he land on a roof or something like that?
Well, so maybe the tail was loosening and the fuel was coming out. His gauge goes down. He doesn't realize there's a massive problem yet. He just sees he's losing fuel.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Then it just comes apart.
If you identified that, you would contact ATC, declare an emergency, and head and tell him that you are going to conduct an emergency landing.
Okay, so he probably didn't know things were bad. He saw the fuel gauge. Doesn't make sense. I need fuel, but I'm coming back.
Right.
And then the thing just came apart because he didn't have time to say emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this thing, it's not like he had time to auto-rotate, find a place to try to put it down and put it down safely. That didn't happen. Instead, this thing came apart and he dropped like a rock.
Yeah. Yep. And those belts inside the helicopter, are they easy, hard to get out of? I saw that thing hit the water so hard, I don't think anyone was conscious.
The plume of water went and nailed it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When that thing hit.
It dropped like a rock. It hit and inverted, and then the rest of it came down after that. The tail rotor and the main blades came down after that. So I agree that they probably at least were unconscious when it hit, and but some of them were still alive at the time that they were extracted from the water. Yeah. They tried to resuscitate them on there at Pier 40, but were unable to do so. But NYFD FDNY and NYPD had divers in the water within minutes.
Unbelievable.
Of that.
Yeah, very quick. Yeah. Fast response time.
Incredible.
I feel for those first responders.
Yeah.
Of course, thoughts and prayers to the family.
Of course.
But those first responders, that's not something you shake off. You know, you're pulling kids out of a helicopter and you're trying to bring them back. Some of them were pronounced dead on scene and some of them were pronounced dead at the hospital, which means they had a pulse and they brought them to the hospital.
They tried.
What a drag.
Yeah.
You know, those that's why I don't go on carnival rides.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's looking at these? Did you look at every bolt and nut and all this stuff?
Right.
And when you're getting in a helicopter, if it's an executive helicopter, I'm in.
Yeah, the top shape.
Right. But if it's one of these tourist things, I'm like, I'm good.
No. It's a cab in the air.
Yeah. Duct tape on the
wheels.
You
say that, but at the same time, helicopters require a lot of maintenance. You have to do maintenance on those every 60 hours. They have to have a complete inspection. And so with that in mind, if there were a structural defect that should have been picked up during the inspection, and they really, really are very tight with inspections of helicopters.
So that's what they're going to go through now, right? They're going to look at when was this inspected, who was it inspected by, and what are the notes on this thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely that, and also they pulled the helicopter out of the water last night. That will be taken and put in a hangar somewhere, and they will go over it with a fine-tooth comb to make a determination as to what exactly went wrong. But we're just guessing without having any actual facts here as to what occurred. But they should be able to determine that from the examination of the body of the helicopter and also looking through records.
Ken Gray, thanks for your service to the FBI and to the Navy, and we appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Anytime.
What a drag.
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah.
Want to shift gears here?
Yes.
The Masters.
Hey.
Okay.
Yep.
Want to talk about the Masters, and let's talk to Nathan Group. He's the executive director of the Travelers Championship, which is, it's our Masters.
Yes, it is.
And I got to tell you, this is almost more prestigious than the Masters now. Wouldn't you say, Nathan?
You know what? I love that lead. Thanks. Obviously, it's so tragic what you guys were talking about before. But, I mean, yeah, this is for our region. I appreciate the intro. I think it is. It's a big deal for New England. It's, the only tour event that New England has. And, yeah, it is our Masters. I would agree with you on that.
Your top players are in, like, you look at the Masters.
Yeah.
And it looks like your roster.
Yep, same people.
That is a fair point. I mean, I remember years ago where I used to be like, man, if I could have one player from the Masters in our field back in like 06 before Travelers took over. And then to your point now, it's just awesome to see the guys that we know are coming here in June, and for the fans and for our sponsors to be like, okay, those are the guys that are going to be here, or they know stories, you know, about the guys that they're seeing on that leaderboard that they've seen here. And having Scotty as our defending champion has been awesome. But yeah, it's a pretty cool pride thing to see that leaderboard and know that those guys are going to be here in 65 days out. So knowing that they're going to be here in 65 days is awesome.
I'm old enough to remember when Sammy Davis Jr. was the biggest golfer name coming to this event.
there was a day. First of all, you just dated yourself. Second of all, yes. It was. I mean, it was a different, it was a different deal back in the 80s, 70s and 80s and early 90s. It was about, hey, what celebrities are coming, things like that. But when Travelers took over, they said, look, we want this thing to be the best golfers in the world here. So how do we do that? And it's been, 18 years of kind of building that to that point. But it was great. We were actually down there on Tuesday for some meetings, and then we went and saw some of the guys, and they're so appreciative and so thankful for what Travelers has turned this into. And it's awesome. But yeah, you completely dated yourself. Probably like Sammy Davis. What?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, we saw that on Reels.
That was the biggest. What was it called? The GHO, the Greater Hereford Open.
Wow.
Back in the day.
The Gaho.
But now you have all the biggest names coming into Hartford. So, and the Masters happening this weekend. Did you see that an AI program picked who they thought would win?
I haven't seen that yet. Listen, that doesn't surprise me, But I did not see that. I saw the guy, relieving himself in Ray's Creek, which we're is
gonna,
probably the big no-no.
We're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah, make sure you have bathrooms.
Listen, I know you're all about big AI or whatever, but I'm not the guy taking lead. No, so wait, what did AI predict?
All right, let me ask you, if you were to pick your first pick and your second pick to win the Masters, who would it be?
First and second pick. I mean, so AI probably did complete statistics and analytics. It's probably going to be either Scheffler or Oberg would be my guess.
Scheffler was one.
Wow.
Yeah. McIlroy, two.
Wow.
McIlroy was two. Got it. Okay. And listen, Rory, he didn't finish well, but he played, if you were to watch his hole-by-hole yesterday, he played an impeccable round of golf. Just caught a couple bad breaks. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Rory shot 5-6 under today and was right back in it.
When you see McIlroy, can you tell him his name is McIlroy, not McRoy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually not what I lead with, you know, like one of the top players in the world.
Hi, how are you?
Tell him to look at the spelling.
Right.
Fix this.
I will say this, though. So I've been there 21 years as a running the tournament up there with Travelers. But I will say there's one guy in the top five in the world that has come and found me to shake my hand to say thank you at the end of the tournament. And that was Rory. Wow. Like one of his first year playing here, I want to say it was 16. I was in the clubhouse and it was Sunday afternoon and somebody said, "Hey, Rory's looking for you." I'm like, "Oh crap, what did I do?
Not good."
He's
got a club in his hand.
you never think, "Oh, this is good," you know? So, I go to the front and he goes, "Hey, I just wanted to say thank you. Really appreciate it. Had a great week and, hope to see you next year." And I went, "What? Okay, great. Yeah.
That's
no,
it.
Awesome."
Right.
Yeah.
And you were going to catch his mask.
Yeah, yeah.
I 100% was. So he is as good of a guy as there is out there.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah. Right. So I don't go right into, can you pronounce your name differently? That's not what I lead with.
All right, pronounce it correctly.
Right. Maybe eventually.
Nathan Grubb is on, executive director of the Travelers Championship. Masters happening this weekend.
Yes, yes.
All right, so let's get to this golfer peeing in the creek.
Listen, I mean, if you go to Arizona State, you're a Sun Devil, you know, you're wearing your logo upside down on your hat and you're at your first Masters. I mean, I will say this in his defense, they hide everything out there. I mean, it is pristine and perfect and every piece of pine straw is in order. Like, it is a majestic experience. So the fact when he said, "I didn't know where the bathrooms were," that didn't surprise me. They were probably like hidden and like painted in this like tree camouflage or whatever.
But gotcha.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee you there is a letter in his locker this morning that says, "Dear Jose, if you would care to relieve yourself, please note locations of restrooms
with
on
a map
every
circle."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or here's a big gulp cup.
But he'll get about 10 years worth of publicity out
right.
of that.
Yeah.
Right. He's on the map now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
now, is there
he probably has a new NIL deal because of that. I'm not sure which company, but again, check his logos, compare them yesterday to today, and see if there was an overnight addition.
Well, we have him explaining what happened. Here it is.
I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box. Didn't really know where to go, and since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much, and then they caught for me. Probably one of the
Hold
clubs
it.
That...
He said people won't see me that much.
Just pose like a fountain.
They'll see me, but not that much.
Lift the leg like a fountain.
So,
not like when I pee on the highway.
First time at the Masters, you don't realize there are cameras everywhere and every inch of that property is covered. So, so welcome to Augusta and welcome to your newfound fame. He probably would rather have the press talking to him about, how he played, but what he did in the creek. So,
PCAM.
Have you ever had that happen at the Travelers? Something of that nature?
It's just us talking, right? So it's not like, Now, listen, we don't have as many cameras. We don't have as many cameras as Augusta does. But let's just say there have been times during the broadcast where you see something in the background. And let's just say CBS turns and covers a different shot. So it has it may have possibly happened. But, people got to do what they got to do.
You just got
to
move on. That's it.
Don't
you just move on. You just turn the camera and you just go, and we're going to the seventh hole now.
Right. Yeah. Gives 9-iron a whole new meaning.
Keep on going.
Nathan Grubb, executive director of Travelers Championship. We'd love to talk to you Monday about the Masters.
Oh, listen, love to. If you guys would, anytime you'd have me on, I will jump on it. Appreciate the support, and that'd be fun to talk about the tournament, what happens over the next 3 days.
Thank you, brother.
Awesome.
Ruth will set it up. Thank you. Nathan Grubb, everybody.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message.
Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.